Oh, well, guess what? You're listening to Comedy Film Nerds episode 478.
It's going to go down smooth today, Graham.
I appreciate that. I came in big announcer voice, and then you came in, it's going to go down smooth, like it's a beer commercial.
Yeah, yeah. I think everyone's going to be satisfied. There's going to be something for everyone here today.
Oh, the deliciously refreshing taste of Comedy Film Nerds.
So
low in calories, sparkling flavor.
High in fun.
You know, like those Michelob ads from the 80s? Bring out your best. All right, I dated myself.
Yeah, it's guys, the more expensive the beer commercial, the worse the beer.
Because the good beers don't need to advertise.
No, they don't. People already know what they are when they go in.
Yep. That's a great... Yeah. I've never thought of that. The more expensive the beer ad, the shittier it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
That's why I stopped drinking.
Yes. Because of
the beer
brand
ads.
Inconsistencies.
Yes, that's exactly. I'm like, I've had it. I feel like if you guys don't have your branding together, why am I drinking you?
Yeah. It's not an invalid reason.
I think AA meetings are filled with people from that stance. Quite honestly, it's just brand inconsistencies. Yeah.
So, boy, I don't think our guest knew what he was getting into.
No, he's not sure if he can chime in yet or not.
Yeah.
That's my thing. I don't know if I'm... You said guest now, so I feel like I can talk, but I didn't know if I was supposed to talk. I've gotten the stink eye before, and I don't like it.
I saw you on the... Like, oh, I got to respond. I've got some riffs in here. So, yeah, jump in. That's the refreshingly sparkly taste tones of Jake Johansson, first-time guest. Sweet.
Yes, and I'm excited to be here. But I don't know if I qualify as a comedy film nerd.
No.
I mean, I like going to movies.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's all you need.
Okay, good.
It's like
mm-hmm. good.
So we were talking about, it's like a podcast about ice cream or pie. Everybody likes some. You don't have to be an aficionado on how to make it. You just had to have seen a movie fairly recently and have an opinion. That's the parameters.
An informed, intelligent opinion helps too.
That helps.
Yes. Ooh, that's going
to
be trouble.
But you'd be surprised how many people are like, oh, I'd love to be on your show. I never go to the movies. I don't watch movies. I'm like, why would you?
Makes no sense, those words that you just said.
Or when I book them and then they show them, go, oh, I didn't see anything. I go, you didn't see anything. You were going to be on a film podcast and you didn't see anything.
I did see something.
See? There
and
you
I
go.
Watched half of another thing.
There you go.
That should be on the movie poster.
I mean, if we get in a jam, I can tell you about the half of a thing that I watched.
I love that. I saw a thing and half of another thing.
Well, you know.
It's not bad. Half a thing and half of another thing.
Are you kidding me?
All I liked it, but something else came up.
Yeah. It's 150%.
That's not a bad average.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
And then occasionally we have the guests that are they've never been on the show before. They write everything down. They put in their calendar that they have to see a movie. They send me a list of options that which one do you want me to see?
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, you'll be back on the show again.
You're a fantastic guest. And then there's the people who are like, I want to do it. When can I do it? Let's pick a date. I'm in. Yeah. I love it. And then day of, they're like, oh, was that today?
Yeah. I had this other thing that I didn't mention.
I've been dreading the drive out here since we booked it.
I can sympathize as you and I live close to each other and I know.
I know. That's crazy. I feel like we could do this from a van, but that's another podcast. Yeah.
You guys could have carpooled probably.
You could tell when Jake arrived on the whole drive, he was like, why aren't we just doing this at Graham's apartment?
Yeah.
Why am I driving?
I know you've got equipment there.
I see
you film things. I can stand close to that same mic. I know we could do it there.
You do a YouTube show right blocks from where I live, Graham. Why am I driving on the 118 freeway?
I passed the equipment on the way here.
Yeah, look. Our friendship is just new and blossoming, so I was just like, okay, I'm not gonna ask the obvious questions. I'm just gonna go.
So now, Jake, you have a podcast of your own, correct?
I do. I'm not sure that I'm taking it as seriously as I should be, but I do have a podcast, the Jake This Podcast. It's also on the Jake This Podcast, and my name is Jake Johansson. So you can find it by typing in those things to the podcast app that you type things into. And I'm not sure. I'm in the comedy, All Things Comedy Network also.
You're on this network?
I think I am. I think I am. Because Al and Bill called me and asked me if I would be on it. And I said, well, I don't not a lot of people are listening to my podcast. I like them, but are you sure you want to do this? And they go, we love you. We want you to be in the network. So I'm in the network, but I don't know what that means. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. But anyway, I'm here. I think I'm still in. I may have been thrown out. I mean, this is where I'm operating right now. Is I don't even know that I don't know if I'm in things that I've said that I would be in.
You know what?
Well, this is their office. This is their facility.
Yeah, but they're not here.
Yeah,
they're not here. Nobody checked my ID.
You know, you could spin that whole thing as a cool sense of detachment as an artist. Hey, man, I don't know if I'm on a network or not. Whatever.
That's what I'm going for.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going for.
I'm not
going
to let the chains of capitalism hold me down, man. Mm-hmm. I just record.
I'm an iconoclastic outsider.
Yeah. I'm just going to be me.
I've got a cult following. That's my mantra. No. That's what I'm saying when I go to bed. I've got a cult following. It's people that are super excited. I can't. So far, it's not a cult. Like, we're not doing any extreme things. But I can get them to meet me for comedy shows sometimes.
Well,
that's pretty good.
That's a little extreme.
What's the show about? Is it an interview show or is it just
this is
you
a real problem. My wife keeps saying it has to be about something. And I go, well, I kind of just want to talk about what's going on with me and with whoever I can get to come over. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you have to like me going into it. And so I feel like there's people listening to this who are like, boy, I'm not sure if I like this guy or not. I get it. I get it. It takes some time.
But. I don't think the leap from come to my comedy show to mass suicide is that big of a leap for your cult.
It's
you know
not.
What I'm saying?
Look, first,
Chris and I have been really contemplating this for a while with our audience.
We have a plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
we're going to start talking about a spaceship that we want him to go to.
Let's just roundtable some ideas because the spaceship guy, that guy, I feel like as far as cults go, I mean, we're not going to suicide ourselves, but I think once we're all wearing the same shoes, that's when things can start happening.
Yeah. I think that's the next step. We're trying to get, we're going to sort of lobster boil our audience into thinking it's just, oh, comedy film nerds branded shoes. You guys should all wear them. And then we're going right to them. From there, that opens the doorway to Andy Warhol haircuts and everybody's eating pudding
and
or whatever.
Shoes, all of those shoes point to an island in the Pacific. So that will be the escape route.
I like it. If you're going to build a super tall building, you start with a foundation. And that's what the shoes are.
Yes, yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So you get it. All right.
Yeah. I do get it.
All right, we have some literature for you at the end of the show.
I would like to team up. We could have similar shoes. Just like they don't really know that I'm part of All Things Comedy, I could be affiliated with this. We could have similar shoes.
Exactly.
And then we'll just break it to people at the last minute. Oh, yeah, you got to watch a movie now.
But
Yeah. So speaking of movies, let's get into it. Let's talk about Night Moves.
Okay.
This is a movie you saw. Now, this was a basically an eco-terrorism movie, but I didn't realize that it came out...
2013 or 2014?
Yeah, but I remember, I was thinking, is that the Jesse Eisenberg? Because I was doing some searches on it, because if you type in Night Moves, a lot of things come up.
A lot of weird things come up. Yeah. And I think it just got thrown up on one of the streaming services. That's how I found it.
Okay.
They just acquired this or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just looked... It looked intriguing to me. It takes place in like small town Oregon where around Bend, Oregon, which is about 3 hours south of Portland. And it's with people working in the fields who are, concerned about the environment. And you sort of see the movie's basically in two parts. There's the leading up to the act of terrorism and the aftermath of it and how they deal with the aftermath.
So do you see the terrorism thing or it's just a thing that happened? Spoiler alert, are we allowed to talk about these things?
Well, we don't want to talk about the endings, but that's in the description, so that's not really a spoiler.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of, and some of the stuff we don't see, I was just as a filmmaker like, oh, they didn't have the budget.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
But the way they handled it, though, and I think...
You see that right away.
Yeah. You see that right away. But I think the filmmaker did a good job of...
Things went wrong in Belize. Oh, okay. Well, why don't you tell me about it? What went wrong in Belize?
Yeah.
But don't flashback or show.
We don't have any film. We have these newspaper clippings of the disaster.
So...
We're going to Ken Burns that.
Yeah. There's basically three characters.
Mm-hmm.
There's... what's her name? Dakota Fanning. Jesse Eisenberg and Peter Sarsgaard, whatever. And they're the three that are going to hatch this plan.
I hate to interrupt you, but I do want to ask a question about Peter Sarsgaard. Is that the guy, the vampire guy, the tall, good-looking Sarsgaard, or is this a different one?
No, this is the other one. Peter's another one. He's the shorter guy that always kind of looks like a problem.
That's a yeah. Okay, got it.
Here's what I'm gonna bring him up.
Okay, good.
I'm gonna bring him up on the big screen.
There's Sarsgaards and there's
Sarsgaard. Oh, that's maybe my mistake. I'm mistaking a Sarsgaard for a Starsgaard.
He's
holy cow.
It's just different levels of European beauty.
Well, right. Hold on. I show you this guy, you're gonna know he's a.
This is why we drove to the Valley, BTW. You got a big screen that we can both look
exactly.
at.
Exactly. We can't do this in my apartment.
I can see you Googling things on a giant screen.
This is Dakota Fanning, Peter Sarsgaard.
Clicking.
That face, you know.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, God. Internet. Why are you switching on me? See, this is the thing.
I think you accidentally clicked a thing.
I didn't click anything. This thing.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I doubt it was you.
I have no
it was probably me. I clicked a thing with my mind. I was really looking hard at a different part of the screen.
No, this fucking stupid PC always just does its own goddamn clicking.
It's a touch screen, so you can do that too.
There. This guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've seen that guy.
I've seen him sort of.
Yeah. He's one of these character actors you've seen in a million times.
I'll tell you one thing about him, and this is the problem with movies. You don't trust that guy right away. There's something a little bit wrong with him. But in real life, the people who shouldn't trust often look like you should trust them.
Right.
And that's how they get away with things.
Yeah,
that's just a life tip.
That's the kind of stuff you get on the Jake This podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been in a million things. Like, he's just one of those guys.
I'm seeing, yes.
Yeah, Blue Jasmine. I mean, Green Lantern. He's been in a lot of stuff. So he's a really good actor. And I like him because he's always. And in this, he's perfectly cast because the lead up is Jesse Eisenberg and Sarsgaard know each other, and Dakota Fanning sort of the newer one. And Sarsgaard's character is ex-Marine. He was a demolitions guy with the Marines. So it's plausible that he would know how to make bombs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's sort of part of it is how are we going to get this bomb and how are we going to plan this? And you also, so the filmmaker, I think, did a very good job because they didn't have the big budget of this. Yeah. We don't have the big budget to show the scope and the, and all this stuff. So let's just keep it small. And I think it actually serves the story well of showing sort of how people can get radicalized, how this sort of thing happens. I'm sure this is based on some actual eco-terrorism stuff that has happened and where they came from. And, you know, they're working in organic farms and everyone out there is really concerned about the environment and someone's going to say, you know, recycling and growing organic produce is not enough. We got to do more to stop the capitalists and then this and that and the other thing. So
we need to start murdering people.
Yeah. So it deals with that. Now, I won't go into this. I'll just say the ending. I don't know. I was a fan of the ending. That's all I'll say. But these are three very good actors. And it's a methodical story. The filmmaker takes a slow time. You know, it's not big. There's not a lot of big emotions. But these are three actors that are all pretty good, I think, at playing sort of understated, you know, scenes.
And did you feel like you kind of got how, if you were one of these people who was an environmentalist, you would get sucked into the thing? Was it viable? Did you have
for
a
me,
buy-in
yeah.
on that?
As somebody that is sort of I consider myself an environmentalist, you know, I bought an electric car 2 years ago because I'm like, I'm not giving the oil companies my money anymore. I'm done. Mm-hmm. And seeing.
Was there a bit of like an indoctrination of like from environmentalist to, eco-terrorist, like looking for somebody that knows bombs and going in that direction?
Well, does
one of them have an agenda ahead of time, or do they all just kind of go, well, we could just blow something up?
No, they do have it. That's the thing. Like Sarsgaard and Eisenberg, you kind of get the sense that they, and again, Chris, to your point, they didn't show us flashbacks or whatever. Mm. They just kind of talk as though like those two have done smaller things, but they're building up.
Right. All we need is a young girl.
Right. To bigger, and she's sort of new to it. So there's like this, who do we trust?
Mm-hmm.
And the filmmaker does a good job of like, I don't know. Is this a thing? Are they undercover? Is this who's going to squeal? All this kind of stuff, which was sort of interesting.
Yeah. But just this whole premise that there's two creepy white guys who want to blow something up, who don't know another creepy white guy, that they have to talk some kind of innocent girl into, look, we need someone to drive the van. And you're the only person we got.
Well, the story sort of picks up where, like, Eisenberg and Dakota are already kind of friends, and they've already sort of been talking and hatching stuff. So it doesn't go as far back timeline-wise in terms of how they all met and recruited. It's sort of like they've already, two of them. So Eisenberg is the center pin.
Mm-hmm.
He's known Sarsgaard for a long time, and he's known Dakota Fanning for a while. And so Sarsgaard is like, can I trust Dakota Fanning? He says that to Eisenberg, and Dakota Fanning says to Eisenberg, can I trust the Sarsgaard? Who's it like? Eisenberg is in the middle of two people who don't know each other that well, asking him, can I trust? Like most of you leading up to this podcast, Jake was like, I don't know this Mancini guy. Can I trust him? Chris was like, I don't trust a guy with two J's in his name.
Yeah.
So it's been a weird leading up to this.
A lot of N's too. I got there's three N's in there. But so, N stands for no.
Yeah.
So that sort of triangle stuff was intriguing to me,
mm-hmm.
and the way the filmmaker took their time. But yeah, I wish we could do like a spoiler ep to really go into. I'd love to know
kind of the ending.
Yeah.
Tell you what I wish.
What?
I wish I had known we could have watched an old movie on a streaming service.
I apologize for not making that clear.
Yeah, I could have watched it. One of the. So do you? So my wife, who you met, mm-hmm. so you have a small sense of her. She's an environmentalist. Is this something that I'm going to get her to watch with me and she's going to be, we're both going to be happy or?
I'll say this. I'd love to know what your wife's reaction to this movie is.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Sounds like a setup.
And I need her bank account info. Yeah. But don't worry about that. It's just a hold. It's like a debit card thing. Don't worry about it.
The first five letters of her social.
It's not a big thing. And,
yeah.
But no, I would be curious to know. Because I'll say this without revealing too much. I felt like, I guess my expectation as the story was unraveling was there was going to be a bigger point or message about environmentalism and coming down on either one side, pro or against eco-terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the ending sort of left me go,
Did it straddle the line a little bit without giving too much away?
I can't even answer that. Yeah, and so the filmmaker might go, well, I chose this ending because it did. I was making this point. And maybe that either eluded me or it wasn't executed that well. I don't know. I'm not saying this is a bad movie and it was a bad filmmaking. I'm saying there was just some choices in there at the end that I don't know. It kind of took me out of it a little.
You're definitely making me want to see it for sure.
I want to hear both of your points of view on this.
I want to watch it too. And I love that you're leaving in the possibility that you might just not have understood it.
That very well could have been
but they have to take it. I think the furthest you can go, right, with a movie that you're producing for show business, you can't advocate terrorism. I mean, you can't advocate that kind of stuff. So the closest you can come to that would be to be like, oh, do you think these people do the right thing?
Or like Syriana is a good example. Like, it wasn't advocating terrorism, but people interpreted it that way. So no matter what you do or show, someone's always going to interpret it wrong. Well,
this is a very obvious example. We talked about this in, Batman Begins, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... Ra's al Ghul and the League of Shadows. I always like it when a villain is presented with, they have a side or a point of view that you go, boy, I understand how they got there.
Right.
They're not just crazy, pure evil, but they're like, we had to take an extreme thing because things were so out of control.
Right.
You know, like
we're saving everybody.
We're saving everybody. Mm-hmm. Or the ends justify the means, right. You know, like anybody like, the French Revolution, whatever the thing is, like, well, that was wanton, crazy violence. So I appreciate that moral quandary in a film that asks me as the viewer to go, well, what do you think?
Right.
And I think this movie was kind of doing that. And then I wonder if the ending was a cop out. It almost felt like
interesting. Well, now I really
want to
see.
But again, but I want a day. I'd really love to hear your opinion because maybe I again. Maybe I missed it.
Well, it definitely had some problems. There was actually a lawsuit filed demanding that the filming cease because of too many similarities to Edward Abbey's novel The Monkey Wrench Gang, planned to be adapted into an authorized film from Edward Pressman Films. So the lawsuit, apparently, without giving too much away, in the novel, the principal bomb maker is a beer-guzzling veteran who served overseas as a Green Beret, where he acquired his knowledge of explosives. The bomb maker Night Moves is a beer-guzzling veteran who served overseas as a U.S. Marine, where he acquired his knowledge of explosives. Now, it goes through a couple other similarities that I don't want to give away because it's spoilers. But at the same time, as I'm reading all this, there's nothing from a story or narrative perspective that is so specific and so far-fetched that it looks like it was stolen. Like, these are all very obvious story points for a story like this. So, but apparently they settled out of court, negotiating behind the scenes. And I wonder sometimes, too, when you have to settle with a movie like this that's already made, it has to come out of the budget. The money has to come from somewhere. And I'm wondering, because I remember I didn't hear much about this movie, if it came from like a marketing budget, because it got very little publicity.
Well, yeah, okay. One of them is now I don't know if this is the spoiler alert, but in the novel, the guy is a beer-guzzling veteran who served as a Green Beret, and in the movie, he's a beer-guzzling veteran who served overseas as a U.S. Marine. Now, I would think beer-guzzling veteran, that's not very specific.
I think that's
got to be at least half,
right.
Half the veterans who've gone to some terrible war are beer-guzzling veterans.
Right.
And then if you know anything about bombs, you got to be some kind of Green Beret, Navy SEAL expert.
You could be in the Army. I mean, the Army. Yeah. There's
mercenary something.
I mean, I met Army guys that were in EOD, which was Explosive Ordnance Detail or whatever. Mm-hmm. And those guys told me that their EOD patches, there was a $25,000 bounty on their head because they knew how to detonate bombs and defuse them. So every branch of the military just about has somebody that knows how to make
explosives. The bomb maker guy. If you're a terrorist and you want to make bombs, you got to get one of those guys. I'm just saying.
Yes, you have
to. You either have to not have terrorists who use bombs or else you're going to be in violation of this. These lawyers, they're trying to ruin everything.
There were no lawsuits when the book was out. But, you know, it's happened because movies tend to have more money behind them. That's when the lawsuit appears.
The director, Kelly Reichardt, I've never seen any of her work before. I like a lot of her filmmaking style. The film was co-written by her and one other person. So, I don't know. You know, I'd be curious to know Jonathan Raymond or John Raymond and the director wrote the film together. And I'm curious to see, was this lawsuit affect the ending? Because it sort of felt they were leading. I don't know. Maybe I missed it. I was feeling like the movie was going to go in this certain direction. And when it didn't, I felt like I was let down. Whereas I hitch my wagon to something of that. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Maybe you need to write your own screenplay. Maybe.
But I think it's worth viewing, and I want to hear.
Or maybe some Night Moves fan fiction to
alternate endings. Maybe you could just film. Is this possible that you can just film a final 10 minutes to the movie and without using the first part of the movie and go, hey, you can just watch on my YouTube the end of this movie that I would have made? But you don't have the budget for that, so it could just be a pitch. It's just you pitching the end of the movie that you wish you saw.
I'm going to just kickstart fan fiction ending to this obscure eco-terrorism movie. That's
I got a great idea.
It wouldn't be the weirdest thing kickstarted.
This is a great idea for your Patreon benefits, is you got alternate endings for movies.
Yeah.
That would be fantastic. So, watch it and let me know what you think.
All right. Check it out, Night Moves. Okay. We'll have our guests go next. Hobbs and Shaw, you saw it?
Which has the element of what you're saying. You know, there's a guy in there who, regular guy, something's happened to him, and now he's gone super naughty. I mean, you kind of get it, right?
The two opposite ends of the storytelling movie spectrum. There's night moves that can, you know, barely afford three, like...
They had a much bigger budget for this movie. This Hobbs and Shaw, this is what happens when you moves and you shoot everything.
Okay. I would wager The Rock's, you know, smoothie budget was more than the budget of the entire night moves.
If you follow him on Instagram, you know you can't afford one of his cheat days. You don't want to have to pay for that.
Before you go, let me ask you this: going into Hobbs and Shaw, are you someone that's watched a lot of the Fast and Furious movies and liked them or didn't like them? Or
I didn't realize how many there had been. So my understanding is these two, Hobbs and Shaw, have been in some of them, so I haven't seen those.
Okay.
I've what are there, seven coming up to this?
Something like
that. I might have seen three or four.
Earlier ones?
Which would be a lot. Yeah, the earlier ones. And then it got to be that I was missing them without even knowing that they had made them. You know, the next one would come out, and I'd be like, I missed the one before that, and how will I ever keep up, and how will I understand? So, don't worry about that. If you're listening to me right now thinking I've never seen any of the Fast and Furious movies, don't worry. I think you can just jump right in with this one and you're going to be fine. But I knew what it was, and I'm also a fan of Dwayne Johnson.
Sure.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You know, I follow him on Instagram. I'm watching Ballers. I think he's funny and charming, and he's just... You wish you were friends with this guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
because nobody would mess with you. Nobody would give you a hat. You walked in with him. This is my buddy, Dwayne.
Okay. I get it.
Whatever you want,
Are you guys hungry?
Yeah. And here's $500,000. Just
in case. Just whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. I mean, he's killing it right now at everything, right? He's selling out of... he designed some pair of shoes in his spare time. He's like, I like the red ones, and they sell out of them.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Boom. So... I'm a fan of his. I pitched this to my wife and my daughter as it's a movie where it's starring, this is the people who are in the movie, the woman who plays Princess Margaret in The Crown, right? And Idris Elba, who's a very handsome black man from England.
Good, great actor.
You great actor, handsome. They talk about him for the next James Bond. And then also Jason Statham, who you loved in that spy movie with Melissa McCarthy. He was so funny in that. Mm-hmm. And then also Dwayne Johnson.
Yes.
That's how I pitch it to my wife and daughter. And my daughter wouldn't go, but I think that has less to do with the
movie.
How old
is she?
She's 15. So she just didn't want to... She was afraid someone would see her at a movie with her parents, so she didn't want to go. Yeah. And my wife, somehow she got sucked in, or she's in love with me. I did something nice I'm not aware of. So,
by the way, I get that. My daughter's 14, so no matter how much you think you're the cool dad, you're always wrong.
I am cool a lot of times, but she won't ever say out loud. But I'm at home. Yeah. She does treat me like I'm sort of cool.
No. Anyway, that's different than out of the house.
But not in public.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. What I would say to my teenage nieces, one of them was like, and I was like, you know what? I work in show business. I'm cooler than you and your friends are ever going to be.
Yeah.
That's what you say to your children.
Right in their face.
In their face. Yeah, in front of their friends. Face. Yeah, I'm cooler than you're ever going to be. Mm-hmm. I've done all these cool things. List off all the cool things you've done. You and your friends have never done that.
Yeah.
Now go on Snapchat.
That's Frank Sinatra. Yeah. That's how Sinatra did Frank Sinatra Jr. I want you to go into singing, and then I want you to know you're never going to be
ever.
As I am.
Yeah. Look in the mirror, know you're half.
Yeah.
But at least now the next 50 years is planned out for you. So.
Yeah. Here's a career. You're welcome. You're not welcome.
Yeah. See you in heaven.
Yeah. I'll be there first.
Yeah.
You know the routine. So Idris Elba is the bat. Now, spoiler alert. Idris Elba is the bad guy, but you know that.
It's not a spoiler. It's in the trailer. Yeah.
Well, no, but you see that he goes, I'm Black Superman. You think, well, that must be Superman's good.
Right.
This could be some racism. How come Black Superman is bad?
Here's the really interesting thing. I don't know if you guys knew the trivia. I found this out afterwards. The line was originally, he's the Black James Bond, and he didn't want to say it. And one of the reasons is he's like... They're kind of circling around to actually be
They were thinking
James
about
Bond.
It. Yeah,
so he's like it. They killed the line in the movie, and then you change it to Black Superman. which I think actually works better.
Yeah, I like Superman's too. Better. Mm-hmm. And I think Idris Elba would be a great James Bond.
He would, for sure.
He could be a great James Bond. He can just lean into his English accent that he has to hide half the time in all right. these parts where he plays Americans.
We are canceling the apocalypse.
Yeah.
But he's going to have to shave because he had a lot of whiskers in this movie, and he's got a little bit of gray in there. I don't know why they did that. I don't know why they gave Black Superman gray whiskers. But maybe it was to emphasize his cyber qualities. You know, he's
right.
You see his spine peeled open. So he was, evidently he was some kind of real bad guy. He gets killed by one of the other guys and brought back to magic robot cyber life
sure.
by the evil... internet villain who you never
Skynet.
Get to see.
Yeah,
and that's
you think you recognize the voice, but then I couldn't be bothered to listen to the credits and see who the voice of the evil.
They haven't gotten Eton. That figured out yet. They're just doing evil voice.
No, but which actor it was? I felt I could kind of recognize the actor.
What we all just said is the extent of the fleshing out of these plot lines from these movies, which I love. Just have them be a robot bad guy that works for Skynet.
Well, but the robot. Skynet entity does a lot of things. It influences elections and can go on and trash them in the world.
Yeah.
And that's maybe a spoiler alert, but it can do all the things.
Now, did you like the goofy, you know, cartooniness of the movie? Like, even though you haven't seen
it. Because it's so over the top.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's what my wife liked. That's what she responded to. Believe me, we were about a third of the way into the movie. So there's been a lot of explosions and ridiculous fist fights and then side-by-side banter of two similar things happening to The Rock and Jason Statham at the same time but on other sides of the earth. So she's already endured a lot of nonsense. And I looked over and I just said, you know, you're doing great. We're only a third of the way. It's to her, it's like we're running a marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she kind of did this as a favor to you.
Kind of, yeah. But she got through it. And she did think that was her favorite part about it, was the banter between them. She got... the funny charm of both of those two guys. And I feel like that's what you're getting. That's what you're going to the movie for, that. And then, and also, and I feel we should know, I should have written down all the actors' names, but the actress who played Princess Margaret, who's in this movie, is really great. I've seen her in a few things. She's really terrific, and you're Googling it now, so it's only going to be a couple more seconds if you're listening before you know this thing. You don't have to Google. But she's really great, and she has some badass things. You know, she is a positive, strong female character.
Helen Mirren.
No, not Helen Mirren.
Oh.
That's Jason Statham
mom.
And this woman's mom.
Oh, Vanessa Kirby.
Yeah, Vanessa Kirby.
Right.
So she's great.
Yeah?
I think she's great.
I love the whole cast. I love the casting of Helen Mirren as the jailed up mom of...
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, everybody's a star. Kevin Hart, all at once, Kevin Hart's in the movie.
Oh, God, yeah, he comes in and just is hilarious.
Surprise, Kevin Hart. Hey.
Yeah.
Just drop it in for a small paycheck, hit the craft service.
Yeah.
And then out for a few, well, he comes in twice.
It's like, they're like, when The Rock and him were shooting some movie in Hawaii, whenever they're shooting Jumanji, they're like, hey, you guys have a 2-week hiatus. Would you mind just... shooting this scene real quick, and he went, yeah, okay.
Right, and then the actor that plays The Rock's brother, when they finally get to Samoa, you know, which you see is going to happen in the preview, so you know that the movie can't be over at the point where you think, oh, maybe they're going to close it out here. Cliff Curtis.
Who's great.
Yeah, right. He's from Once Were Warriors. He's a Kiwi, New Zealander, which my wife is also a Kiwi.
Oh.
So that got us over. You know, that was late innings in this movie, where she might have been ready to tap out, I'll see you at the popcorn stand. But he showed up and got us through the rest of the movie. She liked the ridiculous thing. There's some really ridiculous, stunty kind of stuff at the end. She thought that was funny and liked it. I thought only an 11-year-old boy would like that stuff. But she also liked it.
I think it's your wife's reaction is a testament to why... You know, we've gone after big budget movies pretty hard on this show over the years. But the reason we've always loved Fast and Furious movies is because they know what they're doing.
They know what they are.
We are. They're not. They don't insult you by being so dumb. They don't try to think they're smarter when they are.
They don't take themselves too seriously.
They're fun
at all.
when they're over the top, they know they're being over the top, and they know, like, this is you're riding a big roller coaster while eating popcorn and cotton candy. Like, yes. They just want big crazy fun.
Yep.
Do it up.
And there's a couple of crazy stunty things: the motorcycle that Idris Elba rides, the things that it does that he does in tandem with it are pretty, like, oh, I don't know that I've seen something exactly. There's some Batman-y kind of stuff.
Sure.
In it. But it was really fun. So the action parts were fun. Some of them went on a little bit long, but they were fun the whole time. And then the stuff in between where they're talking about this is where we have to go, this is why we have to go there, this is what we're going to do when we're there, and the dynamics between the characters. And then just when you're kind of like, is just going to be these two, and then she shows up, and it's just going to be these three. No, then the Rock's family are there. Then the guy who's the super evil genius who designed the whole thing, that actor is awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was a fun ride. I thought it was a fun ride.
Cool. All right. Done.
I love it.
Check it out, Hobbs and Shaw, if you haven't seen it. I saw a movie, The Red Sea Diving Resort. And this was an interesting movie. It's about Israel's Mossad agents attempting to rescue Ethiopian Jewish refugees in Sudan in 1979. First of all, I didn't even know there were Ethiopian Jewish refugees. And so that was... and I didn't realize they were trying to get them out, and they got them out in Sudan in 1979. But this movie was on Netflix, and it does that dumb Netflix thing as always. First of all, it's not unwatchable, so that's a step up for Netflix movies.
it's not unwatchable. Yeah, yeah. So, I just want to say hats off to you two guys with your movie choices. You go scratching around in the dark crevices of the internet to go.
But this movie, it's so funny. Like, it stars Chris Evans, Captain America.
Right.
And I swear to God, the pitch must have been like, for Netflix, all right, get me an Argo, but cheaper. So
do you have a bargain bin Argo?
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what it feels like. It's like, all right, well, something that's, getting refugees out, somebody, it's a period piece, and it's, somewhere around the middle, just get me something like that, because that's clearly what people want.
Feels like Argo would have been lower budget, though, if it just didn't have the movie stars in it, right? There's a lot of talking in Argo, isn't there?
There is, but there's also big set pieces of, seeing the embassies and the cities, and there are some big set pieces. This one... not so big of the set pieces. They're a little bit smaller. And it's all of like, get me the cheaper version of everything. First, all right, we're going to spend all the money on Chris Evans, but his character is pretty much going to be Captain America. We're not going to change anything. Just be Captain America in this movie.
With 70s hair.
Although it's barely 70s hair. It's almost like Captain America hair, like when he was... when he went off the grid, so he had like the beard and like, so it was like, oh, it's that Captain America, off the grid Captain America. And it's a little hard to accept him as an Israeli Mossad agent.
Is he blonde in this? He's blonde. Okay.
Yes.
Does he take his shirt off? Is there a point where he's got?
Of course. They try to make some weird explanation of like, well, his mother was from America. I'm like, really? That's the best we're gonna get? Let's just admit that this was stunt casting, and this is nobody cares.
Right.
And then there's a girl in it, and it's always the agents, then the one hot blonde. It really looked like, get me the cheaper version of Jennifer Lawrence. Also, a Mossad agent.
Great. And, a lot of blonde hair, blue-eyed Mossad agents. Yes. Got it?
But how many times have we all said, get me the cheaper version of Jennifer Lawrence?
I know.
I get it. We're all there.
So,
just went to the dollar store and made a movie.
The actual story is like this abandoned diving resort that they use as a front to get these
in the Red
refugees
Sea?
Out. In the Red Sea in Sudan. And... it goes through, but it hits all those dumb beats of like they're about to get discovered, but like, all right, we're pulling the plug on this operation. No, there's more people. We need to do one last job. And then it goes wrong. And, it's all this stuff. But
is that one guy about to retire?
Yeah, one guy's, you have to drag him back in. He doesn't want to do it anymore. And
getting too old.
Yeah, man. And there's always that conflict of like, you let your ego run this operation. And like, if you would have just been more cautious, it was like a script full of cliche dialogue from action movies.
Cliche covert op?
Yeah, cliche covert op, but they were trying to shove into this period piece that actually happened.
Right.
So it And it went all, so it fell pretty much nowhere. I'm like, well, is this a dramatic period piece? Is this an action movie? Is this a thriller? Is this kind of like, now we're going to try to do banter, now we're going to kind of make it funny in parts? Like, so it tried to go in all these different directions, and it ended up going just nowhere. But here's the thing that was interesting. It has this weird model of, like, whenever, like, a big movie used to come out in the theaters, there would always be the knockoff cheaper versions on DVD. Mm-hmm. That's what these movies are now. They're, like, they're cheaper knockoff right. versions of these. But, you know, the money goes specifically into, like, one star. Like, we saw it, like, Netflix did it with Cargo. You know, it was like a zombie movie, but we're going to spend all the money on Martin Freeman, and then whatever's left we'll make the movie with. So, and that's really what happened here, because there was some set pieces, but it was also like, well, this is about as many extras as we can afford, and, you know, as much special effects as we can afford. Ben Kingsley's in it as the head of Mossad. So, wow. Yeah, and he, you know, Ben Kingsley's good in everything.
Sure.
But even this movie, you're like, okay, well, this is a paycheck. There's nothing really that must have attracted you to this script. So it really felt like, oh, this is what actors do in between Avengers movies. This is, you know, that's what right. it felt like. You know, you're just working. This
Ben
is a paycheck.
Ben Kingsley's granddaughter's yeah. going to getting her master's
yeah,
degree.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and again, we've talked about this so many times. It's such a missed opportunity for streaming services, because streaming services could really be the champions of independent film. Acquire the interesting movies. Greenlight the ones that no one else is doing. Not doing cheaper knockoff versions of what the studios are doing.
Well, I think...
But they all can't help themselves. They all they're still going out for the whole reason you cast Chris Evans is you think, well, maybe he's a box office magic guy. We put this guy in the movie, everybody's going to come see it, even if it's not good.
And
it's
I'll tell you, it worked, because I was probably more inclined to hit play because he was in the movie.
How many stars did it have? And do you remember
do that anymore. Netflix deliberately took that.
They just tell you how close of a match it is.
Yeah,
which is
that's
deceptive.
It.
Yeah,
yeah.
So the 70s,
ultimately
2%.
Yeah.
Once you make a few mistakes, like it's got to be terrible for you, because you're watching all the stuff that you know is going to be dodgy.
Yeah, we've
and
short-circuited
the Netflix thinks
the
like, well, this guy loves everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't matter what we put in front of him. He'll watch it.
Yeah, he'll eat it.
So basically you're saying maybe AIPAC shouldn't fund movies?
Well, this seems like one of those movies that you don't even get to see on your Netflix until, like, you watch one movie and then you look at the also watched of that movie, and then you click a movie and then you get three into also watched deep, and finally it's suggesting these.
And I hadn't heard
nobody likes this, but you might.
Yeah, yeah. And because I hadn't heard a word about this movie. There's no advertising behind it. There's no there's no push. There's certainly not an Oscar push, for sure. Whereas, but, you know, Argo was like, yeah, okay.
They're doing the same thing that they would do when you were in a video store 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And you'd go, oh, Chris Evans, Ben Kingsley? Mm-hmm. All right. You read the back of the DVD or whatever, and it says that, Covert Op, 1970, based on a true story.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
It's hilarious. They've got one, show business has one trick. And it's like, it's the famous guy from the other thing.
On a story, you probably might seem like you like.
You like guns, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is that guy with guns.
Just based on a true story with that guy from that thing. That's it.
Now.
Yeah.
That's just a slam dunk.
Yeah. I wonder if Chris Evans at one point said, look, I am not the cheaper version of Ben Affleck anymore. I've been in a lot of movies now. Marvel likes me. So now we're the same price. I'm like, okay, Chris.
And I'm sure these things are pitched as now... Because Netflix probably spent $30 or $40 million on this movie, and, you know, 25 of it went to Chris Evans or whatever, and they spent $7 million on production, you know, and Kingsley probably got $5 million. I mean, like, it's the kind of thing where I'm sure they go, look, it's a Netflix thing. It's this, it's your rate, your quote, your $10 million or whatever it is. We'll shoot the thing in 45 days.
Right.
You know, like, we'll shoot it in Morocco, so you're next to your Italian villa. You know, like that.
And just get me the Argo script and, you know, change every 8 to a 7. So so instead, now we're in the 70s. We'll figure it out.
Well, this is a great idea for a website. It's like IMDb, except it gives you the total budget for the movie and then the budget for the top 5 actors in it. And then you can decide if you want to go see it, because that's a great way to figure out
what was actually spent on the film.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you're getting ripped off, like if the main actor is getting paid more than the rest of the budget for the movie, you're probably in trouble.
Yeah. It might also be the thing too where they went, you know, Ben Kingsley's involved and Chris Evans, oh, I want to, you know, he's really moved, made several moves, and I applaud these moves of like, I'm not just a pretty face, I'm a good actor, and he's proven it in other films and stuff like that. And you know, that movie he did, I'm blanking on the name, where he played the single dad to the girl who was a genius that took place in Florida or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know which one you're talking about.
Not the Florida Project, but that other one he did. You know, that was, he's done good little projects like that. So I can see, you know, from his point of view, maybe it wasn't just the here's a big paycheck. Maybe it was like work with Ben Kingsley, Netflix. They're doing more gritty stuff or whatever. Netflix is winning all these awards.
Well, if that happened, he got duped.
How much time?
Because basically they hired him as like, look, you're just going to be Captain Israel in this movie. And you're going to save some refugees. But you don't have to do any character study. You don't have to do any, you know, any acting exercises.
In fact,
just
we're going to have a prompter.
Yeah, yeah. You just pretend you're in a Marvel movie, same character, just now go.
How much time did he have to spend with his shirt off? Short? Because that was the thing about Hobbs and Shaw. Mm-hmm. The Rock, when they're having the big fight in Samoa, he shows up with his shirt off because they're macho Pacific Islanders. They don't fight with their shirts on. He's got his shirt off. But then halfway through the thing, in the transition from that to now we're going to leave this place of fighting and we're going to get in these hot rods and fight a helicopter, somebody hands him a shirt and he puts it on. And it's really I guess maybe I know about movies, but when he gets the shirt and he puts it on, it's like that's purely a... Like, I'm not going to do the rest of the movie with my shirt off.
That's a contract point.
It's cold. Yeah. We're going to be in water later on. I'm wearing a shirt.
Yeah. I'm only taking my shirt off for this much.
Yeah. Of the money. You saw it.
Yeah.
You saw it.
You got your money's worth.
Yeah. There is a shirtless clause in my contract. I fulfilled it. We're done. So, all right. So the next film now, this was more of an event that you went to, Graham. Jurassic Park Live at the Hollywood Bowl.
This was so cool. You know, it. This is
original Jurassic Park.
The original Jurassic Park from the 90s. So I cannot, I think I've done this maybe one other time and it's been years. But so the LA Philharmonic plays it's a John Williams score.
Of course.
The original Jurassic Park at the Hollywood Bowl, which if you've ever been to Los Angeles, if you come here, try to come in the summer and go to the Hollywood Bowl. It's fantastic.
And go see anything.
Anything.
I mean, see anything.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Anything. I've gone and seen music I didn't care about. It's a wonderful, it's outdoor. You bring your own food. Like
it's better if you're only sort of a fan, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to see something you really love, maybe you're not going to be as close or you're not going to really enjoy just like you're outdoors at this beautiful place. The acoustics are unbelievable.
We took the kids to see Little Mermaid. It was fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even just get the cheap seats and sit way in the back. In some ways, that's better because you see this. They put the stage at the bottom of a hill. So all the seats just go up this hill. And the sun started to set and the stars come out. And and I always go, oh, my God, the Beatles were on that stage.
Yeah.
The Beatles played on that stage.
Everybody's been on
on that stage.
And the acoustics are amazing.
The acoustics are amazing. The history is amazing. So, and here's this big, fun movie that, you know, at the time... You know, some of the CG, it stands out a little more than it used to. But I remember when this movie came out going, holy shit,
those dinosaurs
looked real. Like, and so, you know, there's a bunch of big screens and monitors all over the place. And so the sound's really good. And then this happened to me. I swear to God, at least a half a dozen times where I'm enthralled in the movie and I'm like, boy, the score is really good. And then I go, oh, God, that's right. There's an orchestra right there. Because I'd be like, man, it's so full, the sound. Like, and you're just like, and then I would switch to watching the orchestra play.
Well, on a side note, for them to be able to play, I mean, they spend months trying to get all those little things right and then piece it together in the movie. For them to then sit down and nail it in one go all the way through it's an amazing trick. And of course it doesn't, you take it for granted. Well, they're playing along with the movie. No big deal. But that's a great point.
And that's the thing I kept when I would catch myself and then I would watch the orchestra, I would always be like, this is so, the amount, just knowing what production is involved of like, obviously you have to get, you know, a Philharmonic, you have to get really, but what did they have to line this score up? I'm looking at the monitor that the conductor's watching to make sure you can't be a half beat off, you know, like you have right. to line up frame for frame. And it was so cool to watch the mechanics of that. And, you know, then fun stuff like, you know, I forget the actor's name, who played Newman on Seinfeld, who's the bad guy in it. Wayne Knight.
Yeah.
He comes on screen, everybody boos. It's mm-hmm. like just fun stuff. It's like so fun. You know, somebody says a line, everybody cheers. Jeff, when Sam Neill's first introduced, everybody cheers. Jeff Goldblum, everybody cheers. You know, everyone, and there's a scene where, you know, where Jeff Goldblum gets his shirt, or he gets his leg bitten and he's back and he's lying. It's such a pose. He's lying there with his shirt off. All the women go, woo! You know, just, it was so fun. They cheer when the good stuff happens. They boo the bad guys. It was just a blast.
Well, I was thinking, it's funny that you're talking about that this is part of today's show, because the movie that I saw, I was thinking, this movie would be kind of awesome if we could be getting up and, like, when the music comes on, dancing around or something, because it's just so, there's right. so much energy going on in some of these films, and it's just like you need to be able to kind of express and experience them in that bigger, bigger way, like what you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, and it is like, it was such a blast. If you have anything like this where you live, go see it.
Oh, my wife and I went to the Wiltern to see Stop Making Sense, the Talking Heads movie. And it is a movie of a concert, right? But it's they pieced it together, so it's seamless. But we went to the front, and they had the chairs were out, so you could dance, and it was like being at an actual concert. And there, somebody would do a solo on stage, and people would go, yeah! You know, it was like watching a concert and dancing and being at a live show. It was super. That was a great night.
Cool.
It reminded me, too, of like, you know, and I still like going to big openings of movies, because a big blockbuster where everyone's highly anticipated film, because the excitement in the theater is fun, you know? And it reminded me of like being a kid going to movies like, you know, Star Wars. I remember seeing it and kids, you know, cheering and all the great moments I've seen. Like, I remember seeing Batman Begins in the Chinese theater, and the end, spoiler alert, the end of Batman Begins, where the commissioner goes, "We found this," and shows the Joker card, and the whole audience went, "Ah!" Yeah. Like, the Joker's going to be in the next movie. Mm-hmm. Everybody just like that cheering, that like, I remember when I saw two Jurassic Parks ago, I saw it in 3D at the Chinese theater, and I remember jumping out of my chair because the 3D was so good. And so, like, it reminded me, like, this is the beginning of this movie that's always tried to be sort of on the forefront of film technology. And it was just a blast. It's what the movie-going experience should be. Like, watching something like Night Moves at home, that's great, too. That's a cool thing to do. But you don't need to see Night Moves on a big screen. Jurassic Park or Hobbs and Shaw.
Now, did you do the whole thing where, like, you brought food from home, or you ordered, like, a picnic
lunch? We bought food from home. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I parked at Hollywood and Highland where they have electric vehicle charging, which was fantastic.
And then they have a shuttle, right? Don't they bring you up?
They do, but we just walked. It's a nice walk, you know, and it was just a fantastic night. The weather was...
You don't have to wait for the shuttle to go back. You can just walk back.
All the tricks. When you go into the bowl,
you got to know the
tricks. Because if you go up there and park... You might not be happy. You're probably not going to be happy.
You're going to be stuck. You're going to pay $40, $50 for parking. Right.
And it's all that kind of, what is it, like boxed-in parking where you have to wait for the people in front of you to leave before you
Park either, down and walk up.
When I lived in the Valley, I would take the shuttle bus from Universal City.
I don't think they have that anymore.
Though. Yeah, I think they do. All those shuttle buses are still...
There's a bus from Santa Monica that goes to the bowl that I've got friends that have taken and said they had a good time. Because it's like a party on the bus.
Yes.
You know, people talking, eating.
Because it's an hour or so drive in traffic. It was Friday night, so it was like from Santa Monica, it was a lot of driving. So if you just want to start, don't want to deal with driving, take one of the... They have shuttle bus things all over the city, so you can just not deal with getting there. And then they're pretty good about, like, they've been doing this a while, like the crowd control afterwards.
They know there's not enough parking.
Yeah, and they don't want you to park, really. No. They're like, take a shuttle bus or public transportation. They've now set up a whole, like, Lyft area, if you take a Lyft there, that just picks up and drops off for Lyft.
Right.
It was a fantastic night.
We went for Little Mermaid. I mean, it was almost like almost like a comic book convention where people were like dressed in some of the characters, mm-hmm. and there was cosplay. And then because it was more of a family event, then before they would show the movie, they would have like a little costume contest. And it was really fun night. I mean, it was so much fun.
Well, they had outside of the bowl, when you walked up, one of the Jurassic Park Jeeps.
Oh, cool.
So people were taking photos in front of it. Mm-hmm. There was a couple people. There was one guy dressed as a velociraptor walking around. Nah. You know, it's a blast. Just fun. It's a blast. So check that out if you can.
All right. Graham, we've got some Patreon sponsors.
Oh, man. Thank you so much, folks, for going to patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds and supporting what we do.
Johnny Rulon is back. He's promoting his novel Green Cheek, A Junkie's Guide to Street Magic. It's on Amazon, both digital and hard copy. It's an experimental stream of consciousness novel, which follows the exploits of the muse Calliope and her mortal lover T.S., on a journey through time, dreams, and the hidden places of a supernatural America. The website is happyhorrorshowproductions.com, happyhorrorshowproductions.com. Fanboy Planet, it's a website and podcast for all things geeky and amazing. Check out Fanboy Planet for your comic news, your movie news, TV news, and amazing interviews with insiders and artists. Fanboyplanet.com, that's fanboyplanet.com. And from Chris Parker Howard, Coffee Over Suicide, a dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death. One cup of coffee at a time. New episodes every Friday wherever podcasts are found. Find out more at coffeeoversuicide.com. That's coffeeoversuicide.com. And Alice Frazier brings you a series of three genre-bending solo stand-up shows that explore the boundary between comedy and tragedy. The shows were recorded back-to-back as a three-hour show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, the binaural microphone, which creates an intensely immersive listening experience. Check out alicefrazier.com. AliceFrazier.com with an S.
I know Alice, and she is great.
She's fantastic. Yeah, she's great. Yeah, she came out to do LA Podfest a couple times. And she's been on this show. She's fantastic. She's going to, when I do the Progressive Comedy Tour in Australia, the November 17th show in Sydney, she's going to come by and do a set. So if you're in Sydney.
Yeah, I met her at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Oh, right on. And then I've seen her here, too, a couple times. Yeah, she's terrific.
And the Art Podcast with Rebecca Evans. We move past hesitation and we're true to ourselves. We find our own art in life. New episodes with John S. Drew, host of the Shazam/ISIS podcast, Bat Cave podcast, and more. The Art Podcasts with an S. And A Gritty Australian Noir, The Murder of Jeremy Brooks, pits small-town Australian PI Dan McGuinness against corporate greed and corruption. A Sydney surgeon hires Dan to find her husband's killer. The cop thinks it was a mugging gone bad. She thinks it was a hit. Look for The Murder of Jeremy Brooks at all online booksellers. And that's $50 a month, and you get your ad reads read in every show that we do.
And it will live on the episode forever.
Yes. We don't. We won't remove it when you stop paying.
Nope. This episode, people can find it 5 years from now.
Yes.
Provided the Earth's still around.
Yeah. So, we can't control that, so we'll see.
If the Earth implodes, we can't give you a refund.
Yeah,
There's no refunds if the Earth implodes. Total global economic crisis.
Yeah,
monster blackout. Any kind
dinosaurs
of apocalypse
come back.
Scenario.
Dinosaurs come back. You know what I mean?
Good luck. So, you're gonna have bigger problems than trying to get that $50.
And and we've got some trailers. The first one is Last Christmas. This is a obviously a romantic comedy, but. Let's watch the trailer and then we will comment on it.
Look, okay, yes. It's not my
fault. Be. Perhaps it's one of you.
I bet nothing's ever your fault, is it, darling? Oh.
By the way, that is the mother of dragons from Game of Thrones. Christmas shop. Not Emma Thompson.
This is my little helper. I have nicknamed her Lazy the Elf because she appears never to work.
Father, if only Christmas get me out of here.
Emma Thompson actually wrote this.
Jesus, film. Where'd you come from?
Well, what are you looking at?
Probably a falcon.
Oh, damn it.
I think it just pooed in your eye.
Yeah, I think so.
It's good luck, you know.
What is?
Getting pooed on by bird.
I'm busy, you're weird. Goodbye. You've missed 5 doctor's appointments. Mum is scared.
So, tell me about sleep.
She never sleeps.
Exercise?
Religiously.
Not at all.
Alcohol?
Oh, she's drinking like the pirate.
Well, okay, fine. Thank you, doctor. Thank you so much for your time. Let's go, man.
Drinking like the pirate.
You! Again.
What do you mean again?
Did you follow me here?
Are elves always so cynical?
Yes, relentlessly. These are dark times.
I'm Tom.
Kate?
Here we are.
Is this a bit where you murder me?
So what is it that you do?
That is a great line. Is this where you murder me?
Anyway, boring.
I'm not bored.
You are so strange.
Where are you going?
When there.
Well, you're not homeless.
No, I volunteer here.
Why didn't you just get Satan tattooed on your forehead?
You were great at your job when you started, but now it's like you don't care anymore.
Hi.
Can I help?
I'm a mess.
I was really sick and I nearly died. I don't tell people because they get weird. But I don't think you'll get weird.
No.
I'm just scared all the time. They just expect me to be normal and get on with life.
There's no such thing as normal. Just being a human being is hard. Maybe you should do something nice for someone.
Deck the halls with bells of holly. Fa la 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 la. Tis the season to be jolly.
Oh boy.
Hey, maybe not show us the whole movie.
Now I've seen the whole movie. Yeah, I was into watching it, and now I know the ending.
I've been trying to find you, but you keep disappearing. And then when I do bump into you, accidentally, I might add.
It wasn't accidental.
It's a lot. They're showing us even more things now.
I know.
Yeah. This is
so now he's a mystical thing.
Yeah,
you're gonna make mistakes, and that's okay.
Oh, is he an angel?
Yeah.
Everything you do.
You can't be here.
Now we're leaving.
They're running away on ice skates.
Featuring the music with George Michael. So
okay.
You cut 30 seconds out of that trailer, and I'm in. Now I know the ending.
Now I'm like, all right, I've watched the entire film.
That's a 3-minute trailer. That's a lot of trailer.
It's way too long. And it also shows, now I know I've seen at least the first 3/4 of this film. It's clearly the entire, so now.
All you had to do is show me, she's a train wreck, meets this guy, he's a good guy.
Some funny lines.
Funny
Emma
lines.
Thompson.
It's a rom-com. Yeah. I'm not an idiot. I know they're going to get together.
Yeah.
But let me just say this. I've got a 15-year-old daughter and a very choosy wife. I can pitch that as a holiday movie this year. We're all going to sit down and watch it and kind of laugh. No, there's not going to be any creepy sex thing that happens.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's not going to be any terrorism. Nothing should be super complicated.
Right.
We can eat whatever we want.
Yeah.
I'm pitching this as a TV at home movie, not as a go to a theater movie. Mm-hmm. I think it's great.
We can eat whatever we want.
Yeah.
I love that that's in the pitch.
Now, the reason I picked this next one is because...
Daddy, can we eat whatever we want during this movie?
Yeah, we can,
actually, yes, we can.
Now, this next movie, this trailer, is a similar length, but I guarantee you, by the end of this trailer, you're not going to go, oh, I've seen the whole movie.
It says Parasite, and it looks like it's from South Korea, which they are making the best, craziest
movie,
shit out of South
Korea.
And
this director has already made a bunch of crazy shit.
Crazy sci-fi, horror, and action.
And all martial mixed art. Together often. Yeah.
Here we go. Thank you, South Korea.
This
is a tricky preview because it's subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
Are people listening to this?
Yes.
Your parents look good. They look unemployed mostly.
Starts off as possibly a romantic comedy. But he's done The Host and Snowpiercer, so you know it's not going to be a romantic comedy.
The Host is a great movie.
I like a movie that turns a corner.
This one has multiple corners.
Is it okay with you?
A little bit of English sprinkled in.
Mm-hmm. Got to.
우리 다성이는 완전 예술가 체질인데.
무슨 펜질을 그린 거죠?
자화상이에요.
This is the thing. They all know English.
역시.
그동안 미술쌤도 여러 명 바꿔가면 세봤는데요.
So first there was a tutor. Now there's a boy who needs an art tutor.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now there's more characters we haven't seen before. And a very creepy ring of a doorbell.
Mm. You expect Parasite to be one thing, but it turns into something else.
It's a story of class, sort of.
It's a
a Korean Jordan Peele movie.
It actually kind of feels like it.
Whoa. Well, wait, it's called Parasite.
Now yep. that now is a trailer.
Exactly.
That's how yeah. you make a trailer.
Yep.
Do we know what is going to happen? We have no idea. No. Are we intrigued? I'm in.
It's a lot yeah. of Asian people going to places that seem interesting.
And it's creepy.
And then something creepy, yeah. terrible is going to
yeah,
happen.
There's blood and some perhaps misunderstandings.
Is
That's
this a creepy
one? My wife is out.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
This is a can't eat anything yeah. movie.
No,
I'm going to tell you that
my wife is out. My daughter might be in, mm-hmm. but I think she's going to want to see that with her friends.
Right,
her cool friends.
Right,
not her uncool dad.
Not her uncool dad.
But I'll see it with you guys.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Yeah,
whatever they're doing in South Korea,
mm-hmm.
I'm glad. Keep going. Yeah. They keep mm-hmm. making. I mean, like when we did the Rick Myers panel at Comic-Con, and he showed those movies out of South Korea. Like every year. Their filmmaking there, I don't know what, I'd love to know the economics of it, like how they're getting their financing,
right.
why they're allowed to just make these movies that are so artistically mm-hmm. out there.
I think that our problem is, in America, is everybody's going for that giant financial score.
Right.
And
right.
so they keep loading money into bigger stars because they think that's going to get to box office, and they keep adding on a lot of extraneous and mm-hmm. extra car chases and effects. That yes, those are great, but you don't need that to sell tickets to make a great movie.
Right.
Mm-mm.
I'm telling you, this trailer, you give this a wide release, you show this trailer to people. I mean, I know the subtitles, some Americans are like, I don't want to read.
Yeah.
But
you
like,
go to the movies to read.
Oh, God. Like, this looks.
You don't go anywhere to read.
You
yeah. Well, it's not going to be long before we won't have to read
yeah.
anymore.
But this is like, I'd love to know like where the financing comes from for movies there. Is there just independent financiers? Is there like government financing like they get out of Australia and
But
stuff?
If you're going to mm-hmm. make that movie in America and you got to cast big names in it,
right.
the budget immediately goes
sure.
up there.
It
balloons.
And then
yeah.
you have all of the big names agents and all of their demands and all this
And
other.
All of our health and safety
precautions.
I mean, come on.
Oh,
yeah.
Actors are expendable.
Mm-hmm. Insurances.
But I'm in. I'm yeah. in for The Parasite.
So it looks
Me too.
Really fun.
I want to watch The Parasite.
So now we have releasing on DVD and Blu-ray. We have The Hustle. This was the remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels that nobody saw, including the makers of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yeah.
So, and it was weird. It wasn't even, like, it was, like, confusing. Like, is this a remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels? Like, they never really...
Did they get sued?
So, no, it was, they gave credit to the original filmmakers. So, yeah. And they even had shots that were the same
yep.
from the original movie. But it was never really promoted as that's what it was a remake of.
It was just with two women grifters.
Yeah.
Who were hustling men.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was... So, in the originals, here comes a spoiler alert. The original Dirty Rotten Scoundrels in the 90s, they're scamming rich women out of their money. The ending, they get scammed by a woman who's a better con
scammer.
Yeah, yeah, she's a better scammer than them. So what's the plot of this one? Just then a man scams them at the end?
Don't know. Yes.
Can't make a Me Too movie
it.
With that ending.
That's, you know, I don't know. Well, the preview last night, we saw the Hobbs and Shaw last night. One of the previews was the Black Thelma and Louise movie.
Oh.
Do you know? Have you seen the preview for that?
No.
It looks great. I mean, it's not really... Black Thelma and Louise. That's
right.
A very glib take on it. But it's a black couple. They accidentally, this is not a spoiler alert, it's in the preview, they accidentally mm-hmm. kill a cop and they're on
and
the run.
And they go on the run.
And they're
yeah.
on the run. It's mm-hmm. and you know it's not going to be happy.
Right. Right. That yeah, this was just literally they did a looks like almost a shot for shot
yeah,
remake.
It's like, look, well, you know, look, they're remaking Overboard and changing the gender roles. We should do that with all of these movies that nobody wants to see again.
So. Right. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, why remake Dirty Rotten Scoundrels?
I'm hoping we're done with this now, like with these old movies of you know, but because none of these are making money. They're all the complete failures. I mean, Overboard was a disaster. This one was a disaster. So I'm hoping maybe we should stop doing that.
Well, some of the movies that they're remaking, you're like, well, that only did okay the first time.
Yeah.
Why are you remaking that?
And the other thing, too, is like, well, we're going to do an all-female Oceans movie. Or just make a female heist movie.
Yeah, you don't it doesn't have to be an Ocean's movie.
It doesn't have to. She doesn't be Danny Ocean's sister or niece or whatever.
But this is that same blockbuster mentality. Right. Like we name it after the other thing, and then the people who saw that thing will like this thing.
Whatever we want to do, don't take a chance on a new idea. For make sure it's based connected to an IP or something that we can remake
on female con artist. Great.
Yeah,
I'm all for it. Write an interesting script and do it. You want to make it a comedy, sort of the way Dirty Rotten Scoundrels was. Fine, but don't just make that movie again.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's it takes Hollywood a long time to learn lessons. Oh, God, so we'll see stupid. If it sinks in. Now, Dog's Journey is the next movie. I really think that it's almost a subgenre now. That like it literally feel like every couple months there's a new dog movie. Like there's one driving in a car with that guy from This Is Us that's out now.
People like dogs.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, dogs are popular.
I feel like it's the same group that makes those Christian movies. Well, you know, there's always a guy that lost his way and then he finds the light.
There's some, I think there's like this weird dog hedge fund that's making these movies.
Is Purina behind these movies?
Well, did you see the Kumail one with the dog?
No.
Kumail Nanjiani and the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy and a dog. It's been on all the...
Oh, Stuber. That's not like a dog movie, though, is
it? It's not?
There?
No. I don't know. I just go by the bus ad. I was like, I don't know.
I don't think that's a dog movie. That's the two of them.
I think that might have a dog as a co-star.
But it's not a dog. It's not a dog movie. It's not a talking dog that lost his way and finds his master through five lives or whatever this one is, you know.
Okay. Well,
I think they're all
I thought it was more like
I think everyone is like that.
But this is Stuber, he's a cop. Kumail Nanjiani's his Uber driver, and they get caught in some hijinks. And there's a dog in there, but it's not a dog.
Right.
Okay.
So
I'll take your word for it.
Jake, what we're trying
to... There's three people in the poster. One of them's a dog.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I mean, what we're trying to get to, Jake, here is what's your favorite dog movie? So.
Holy cow. Well, I can only think of Turner and Hooch now, just because that's the one that the Stuber ad reminded me of, even though they're probably not similar.
So this was a Turner and Hooch remake.
Yeah.
What's the one where they have to find their way home, the family moves, and they have to get back?
That's Dog's Way Home?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know if that's a Dog's Way Home.
Homeward Bound.
Yeah, okay. Homeward Bound.
Wow, Aaron, how did you know that off the top of your head? Because it's one of
the ones that makes me cry. All right, fair enough.
I told you it's a good one.
Wow, all right.
He's quiet the whole time, and he jumped in.
That's
for that.
When he jumped in. It's the dog movie that made him cry. That's what got Aaron on mic.
So, and then the last movie on DVD and Blu-ray is Brightburn. So, Brightburn was the kind of superhero horror movie that was based on like, what if Superman was evil? And not a good movie. Which it was disappointing.
Cool premise, great premise,
but not well done. And another problem with the trailers: the trailer literally showed you the entire movie, including the final scene. Like, it literally showed you the entire movie all the way through, but it just didn't go anywhere. It was, the best way to describe it, it was a premise in search of a movie.
Right.
And it also did that that really, really, it fell into that really bad trap that the bigger budget movies come into, because this was like a low budget kind of superhero-y, you know, dark, like, take on the whole mythology. It's like, all right, well, we need to spend the rest of the credits in the movie setting up the world so we could have 1,000 sequels and show all these new comic book characters and superhero characters. But if you don't make a good movie the first time, nobody cares about the world that you're building. Mm-hmm. Ask Universal Monsters, when we saw The Mummy.
The Adventures of Remo Williams.
Yeah.
I was down for the second one, but they were like, no, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. So you got to make a good movie first before you can have a cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. So it's a shame. It was one of those movies that like, oh, this looks really cool. Want to support independent filmmaking? Missed the mark. So
All right.
In this site spotlight, the fan feedback. Yes, we are liquidating the store, so you can check out. Everything is discounted. There's plenty of DVDs and book spec. I know everything is going digital, so we're getting rid of our physical inventory. So you can check that out. A lot of you have been taking advantage. Somebody bought 2 4X earbuds shirts.
Oh, wow.
And we have a few of those left as well. And if we have any more PodFest shirts or extra shirts, we will throw in shirts. If you buy one, it'll still be getting one free if we have the supply in your size. So
yeah,
check
and
it out.
Episode 600, we're going to do that live December 12th. We'll have a ticket link up for that probably in the next couple weeks. So look out for that. And Yeah, follow us on all the social media. What do we got coming out this week, buddy?
There's only one, Graham.
What?
And it's one movie that, because we're getting into that dead time, that kind of end of summer before all the awards movies comes out. Angel Has Fallen.
Oh.
The Gerard Butler
things
movie.
Things keep falling whenever Gerard Butler's around.
It's
London, the White House.
Speaking of direct-to-DVD movies.
It's a weather satellite.
Sure,
one time?
Sure, yeah.
Why
one
not?
Fell.
Yeah.
That one? Everything's falling.
I'm sure that fell. And then,
the Dog's Journey fell.
Yep. The Angel is fine. And I guess these movies are making money. They keep making them, so clearly somebody's watching them. I don't know if Gerard Butler is, but because if there's ever an actor that has walked through moon or these movies, it's him. Maybe Morgan Freeman, but this even the trailer alone, it could be like, wow, everyone looks bored, you know, because it's just churn this out. The other one's made money, just make another one. But it's the same premise over and over. I don't care, make us more money. So. And I don't know what else Gerard Butler is doing. Like, you know, we talked about, like, all right, well, between Avengers movies, this is what Chris Evans is doing. You know, Gerard Butler has done a bunch of movies, but this is all he's doing now. Like, I don't see him in a lot of indie movies doing, like, you know, different – this is it.
Well, do you think he may have run out his cool guy cachet, and these are the choices that he has?
It could be.
Could be
it
that.
Could be for
it
sure.
Could be like, he's not getting offered the cool indie, you know, actor scripts. And
like, you know, after 300, it was like, oh, I can't wait to see this guy in more action movies. And like, oh, well, okay, now I'm done.
Not so, any action movie.
Yeah.
We're finally at night. But to be fair to Gerard, if you had
a great singer too.
If you had a crank in your house and you could turn that crank and $1 million would fall out.
Yeah.
You wouldn't stop turning the crank.
No, you would
if
keep
turning
it. If
somebody came to me and said, Graham, you want to do, you know, Dog's Journey Has Fallen? Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever, you know. Man. I would do that if you're like...
Someday somebody's going to take this crank away, so you should use it while you can.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll crank that thing till I'm set financially, and I don't have to worry.
I think you still keep cranking it to see if it works. It's been a couple of months since you walked by.
And here's
the
thing,
too. Still works?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good actor. Gerard Butler is a good actor, and he's a good singer, too. Like, there's plenty of things he could do. But I don't know, like you said, if this is all he's getting offered or if this is what he's choosing. I mean, we don't know, but... I have a feeling we haven't seen the last of these Fallen movies. There's probably going to be more. So we'll see. I mean, I don't think anyone in this room is going to rush out and see this weekend.
Not to my knowledge.
So fast. Yeah. This is a movie, for me, this is an airplane movie.
Yeah.
You know, you're on the plane and you look through all of them and you go, oh, right, I'm going to watch that now on the plane.
I remember when that came out.
Yeah.
And
Morgan I want to Freeman's see all the drones attack everybody.
Morgan Freeman's the president. You know, and of course, just typical, like, Gerard Butler's blamed for it. Oh, double cross, black ops, whatever. Sure, go get it. Blow them up.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show.
That's it. At 478, so, lock it down.
So, Jake, where can people find you online or live?
Oh, you know, I have a website, jakethis.com, and then the podcast is called the Jake This Podcast, and you can internet social media me, Jake This, or Jake Johansson. Graham has inspired me to try doing some YouTubing, so I'm trying to do that now on my Jake Johansson channel on YouTube.
Oh, great.
And if you just put in Jake Comedian, I think a lot, some of mine... I'm in that first page a lot of times. So if you like me, check out the podcast. If you're kind of like on the fence right now, you know, I don't know, give it a try, see what you think. But it's nothing personal. I won't be hurt. You listen to half of it. You don't like it, you can listen to something else.
I'm the
worst at
that's
promoting
the best
myself.
Passive this aggressive is the, this pitch is the I've worst. Ever heard.
All right. Any tour dates coming up or?
No, well, I've had a couple things cancel. I'm going to put the next shows coming up on the website. I'm going to be in San Francisco before the end of the year, Chicago before the end of the year, and one other place. So go to my website and find out the place I'm going to be before the end of the year. And I'll be in Santa Monica with you, Graham.
We'll be hanging out in Santa Monica.
We'll do some local shows in Santa Monica every once in a while, right? Because I know you do.
Sometimes, every once in a while.
Yeah.
We should. We got to get a regular...
There's that comedy theater there that we did...
West Side Comedy Theater.
Yeah, it wasn't. Or when we recorded.
It's West Side Comedy Theater.
That's one. Yeah, that's
Kevin
a nice
Pollack.
Place.
Yeah, it's great. It's good theater. Good little like 120 seat comedy club right off the Third Street Promenade.
It's in the alley.
It's in the alley.
You park in the parking garage and walk straight into the club.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's run by some couple guys from Chicago, I think. Well, that's for folks. The Progressive Comedy Tour. Ron Placone and I are coming to the middle of the country in September 4th through the 8th. We are going to be in Omaha, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Madison, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Iowa City. Go to grahamelwood.com for all your tour dates. Also, we will be in Australia, November 14th, Melbourne, November 15th, Adelaide, the 17th. We will be in Sydney, like I said, with Alice Fraser, and the 22nd, we will be in Perth. All those tickets are available at grahamelwood.com.
And check out my graphic novel, Long Gone Far Away. Signed copies at comedyfilmnerds.com. Although if you're in the comic book convention, Starburns Press is bringing copies. You can get them there. The next one will be Dragon Con. You can check out. They will have them there at the Starburns Press table. And we're doing another Kickstarter for the next book next month. I will keep you guys posted on that as well. And that's it.
That's our episode. Thank you, Jake Johansson, for coming out here to the All Things Comedy World headquarters.
This was fun. You know, driving over here, I thought, I'm never doing this again. And now I feel like I would do it again.
We've won you over.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Well, the December 12th show, if you're in town, it's going to be at the Dynasty Typewriter, and it's our 600th episode. So anybody that's ever been a guest on our show, come by, just pop in, do a quick little 5-minute, tell us what movies you've seen to celebrate 600. We've been doing the show for 10 years. So
you now qualify.
If you're around, if you're not one of those cities, you can't remember December 12th, come by.
Okay. That's a fair deal.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aaron Brungard, for expressing your love of dog movies. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.